Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
I'm Ryan Lintelman. I'm curator of the Entertainment Collection at the National Museum of American History.
And I love the American History Museum. I'm a huge movie Oscar guy, and there's so many Oscar-related artifacts and stuff that are currently on display as the Oscars are, you know, right around the corner this year. So I guess just in general, before there's so many different ones I want to talk about specifically, but just in general, big picture, like how long has Entertainment Nation been up and running here at the museum?
Yeah, Entertainment Nation opened in December, and it is the museum's first permanent exhibit that's dedicated to the history of entertainment, music, and sports. So what we do in the exhibit is look at how those things are actually part of the nation's history. They're not separate from political and military events, but they actually shape the conversations that we have about what's happening in the world, our understanding of each other and ourselves. So it's all very important to the story that we tell at the Museum of American History. And the exhibit will be on display for at least 20 years. So that's what we mean by permanent. So folks have a lot of time to come and see it as we rotate objects over the course of those 2 decades.
Okay, great. And when did it open?
It opened in December.
Oh, okay. So we're only a couple months in now. Okay, great. Yeah. And where exactly, for those that are familiar with the museum, you know, you got the original tattered Star Spangled Banner there on the first floor, but like what floor is this on?
The exhibit is on the third floor west wing of the museum. So when you come in and go up to the third floor, you'll see this big stained glass window from the RCA Victor plant in Camden, New Jersey. It shows Nipper the dog listening to his master's voice on a record. And if you follow that, you know, this window is like 10 feet tall or something like that. You come around and you'll see the exhibit gleaming there beside it.
Awesome. Well, without further ado, I want to talk about some of the great, you know, Oscar tie-ins here, some of the artifacts from Oscar nominated or Oscar winning movies here, and we'll take them one at a time. So obviously one of the big you know, collectibles that you guys have, memorabilia, is from The Wizard of Oz. Of course, lost Best Picture to Gone with the Wind that year, but I think it still won 2 Oscars for original song Over the Rainbow and original score. And that movie stands the test of time. But talk about how exciting it is that you literally have Dorothy's ruby slippers for people to come see. That's incredible.
Yeah, one of the things that people request the most when they come to our museum are the ruby slippers. They know that we have those. We have the Star Spangled Banner, Lincoln's hat, but there's something special about seeing the ruby slippers on display. So the pair that we have is one of 4 that are known to have survived from the production of the film. And for a long time, we were the only museum that had a pair on display. Now the Academy Museum in LA has a pair too. So we have some company. But this is, you know, one of the pairs of slippers that was worn by Judy Garland in the making of the film. They're like the holy grail of movie props. They're the most, you know, coveted movie props that are out there. The most famous pair of shoes in the world, for sure. But, you know, they were off the rack shoes that were made by the Innes Shoe Company in L.A. They were dyed and with, you know, a netting that was applied to them that had sequins on them, made in-house by the MGM team there. And so, you know, these prop shoes that were just meant to last through the production have now become these major cultural artifacts and touchstones for generations of Americans. So we're really proud to have them on display in Entertainment Nation. They're the first thing you see when you come in.
Oh, yeah. You come in, you realize you're not in Kansas anymore. It's fantastic.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, in addition to that, another big, you know, the big 1976 film Rocky, of course, went on to win Best Picture and was the year's top grossing movie, too. I miss those days when, you know, the great blockbusters were also so artistically, you know, well made and significant that they also won Best Picture. That was great. We've sort of seen a divide recently, but maybe we'll get back. Who knows? But anyway, talk about what item from Rocky do you have on display?
Well, this is something that we haven't displayed in a long time, so it's really great to have it back out again. This is the original Italian stallion robe worn by Sylvester Stallone in the first Rocky film. So you see there's an ad on there from Shamrock Meats, and you know, it's just so iconic, and we've got it dressed on a mannequin, you know, so you see it from behind. It's like Rocky is in the room there with you. So it's really evocative, and you know, it's a great point of talking about Oscar's history, like you said. You know, the movie kind of came out of nowhere to win Best Picture that year against All the President's Men and Network and Taxi Driver. I mean, really incredible that it won that year, and it was a labor of love that really resonated with people at that time in American history.
I love, not to mention Carrie and The Omen, and that year was so stacked. 76 was incredible. The ones you mentioned are masterpieces. And here comes Rocky sort of living. The movie itself was living out sort of the theme from the movie. You know, there's underdog no-name Stallone who, like, I guess went to a boxing match and went home and, like, wrote it in a spiral notebook over, like, 3 days or something. And that goes on to win Best Picture. It was the underdog upset. It's so crazy exactly. How that worked out. Well, and thanks for the shout out with Shamrock Meats too. And thanks, Paulie.
You know, it's also interesting. It's the bicentennial year and it takes place in Philadelphia. And, You know, it's kind of like a blue collar guy who's down on his luck at a time that a lot of factories were shutting down and people were questioning what the American dream meant. I mean, there's a lot to say for that movie being a really important historical one too. And that's what we talk about in the exhibit.
Oh, yeah. It's still my favorite of all of them. And it's been a successful franchise. It's still going. Creed 3 is about to come out here in a week or two. So yeah. That shows the power. All right, cool. Actually, can I get a quick soundbite from you saying that? You know, hey, if you're excited to see Creed, come see the original robe, something like that.
Yeah. You know, the new movie Creed 3 is coming out. So if you want to see where it all started, you can come see the original Rocky robe at the American History Museum.
All right. Yes. Play some Gonna Fly Now and some Eye of the Tiger and come on and run into the museum. Actually, don't run into the museum. Walk carefully. All right. Also, I know two directors that have movies up for Best Picture this year. You know, Steven Spielberg with The Fablemans and James Cameron with Avatar, The Way of Water. There's some props from their previous movies in here, too. Why don't you remind us what we have from Jurassic Park, obviously Spielberg classic, and then Cameron's Aliens. I think there's props from both of those, right?
Yeah. I think one of the props that's really surprised people when they come into the exhibit so far is this, you know, the amber with the insect inside from the original Jurassic Park film, you know, where they extract the DNA to recreate the dinosaurs. I think that not a lot of people knew that we had that here at the museum, but it's a really cool artifact and it helps speak to that movie's history, but also some of the themes that science fiction films have explored about playing God and whether technology has gone too far. So it's a great piece to talk about those issues and how they're portrayed in films. And then we have this really cool giant egg from the Alien franchise. It actually was created for the marketing for the Alien 3 film, but it helps us speak to the history of the entire franchise and what it's meant in our history. You know, just really powerful for representation of women as warriors and science fiction heroes alongside all the men that we know. So it's a really cool representation of that film and all of its iterations.
Oh, yeah. Ellen Ripley is iconic. Well, and also you got Laura Dern in Jurassic Park, you know, holding her own. So, you know what I mean? There's some strong female characters in both of those movies that we just mentioned. But how cool is it that you get to see the mosquito in the amber that, you know, literally John Hammond, the late Richard Attenborough, his hand was holding that thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, over the course of time, we're hoping we can put our dinosaur eggs on display, too.
Yes, but be careful. As Goldblum says, your scientists were so preoccupied with whether they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
Exactly. Life finds a way.
Awesome. Well, what else do we have? Oh, how about there's tons of Star Wars fans out there. And obviously, it was the big blockbuster of 1977. It lost to Woody Allen's Annie Hall, but it still won 6 Oscars with, you know, art direction and costume design and sound, film editing, visual effects, original score, the iconic John Williams score. So it ties into this Oscar exhibit perfectly. So what do we have from Star Wars?
So we have droids. We have R2-D2 and C-3PO. The ones that we have were used in Return of the Jedi. So they're from the final film in the original trilogy, but they are film used droids. They're kind of larger than life. When you see them, you can't believe they're in front of you there, you know, also right at the front of the exhibit. But, you know, they're the costumes that were worn by the actors who portrayed those characters. So you see them on screen throughout the film. Those have very rarely been on display in recent years. So it's really cool to get them back out again. And at our opening festival in December, we had a bunch of folks come in costume and take their photos with the droids. So it was pretty cool to see stormtroopers, you know, in the halls of the Smithsonian.
So you do have the droids we're looking for.
Exactly.
Awesome. What else do we have? Is there anything else you want to tease that could be Oscar related or just movie related in general?
Sure. Yeah. When you go in, I mean, another one of the things that I think has rarely been seen, but is kind of cool from the historical perspective is Irving Berlin's hat from the film This is the Army in 1943. So that won the Oscars for best musical, best production design, best sound mixing. But it also was this wartime musical that was, you know, to support the war effort. Irving Berlin wrote these films originally in World War I to help support the war effort then, and then made this film in 1943 that, you know, starred some of the greatest stars of that time, like Joan Leslie and I think actually, Ronald Reagan was in the film too. And so, you know, a lot of these folks that you see throughout American history appeared in this wartime musical film, which is a really fun watch today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so for Irving Berlin, this is what, 1943. So he's writing, I guess he had just written, I guess Holiday Inn was the year before that, right? He wrote right, White Christmas for Bing Crosby.
Exactly. That yeah. So, you know, he's supporting the war effort in all kinds of ways, because I think White Christmas, you read that as a song really about, you know, wanting to go back home and get back to family and friends during the war and all of its, you know, the issues related to that. So it's a really cool historical story through entertainment.
That's cool. Yeah, he won the Oscar for that and then followed up with This is the Army, like you're talking about, and won another. Well, he didn't win the Oscar. I guess it won for the musical score. But either way, it all works. Anything else? Anything else we got before we hop off here?
We've got some other great movie objects. I mean, if people like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you can come and see Captain America's shield is on display for the first time. We've got a Bette Davis overcoat from Now Voyager. We've got so much stuff, you know, even original sketches from Steamboat Willie, the original Mickey Mouse cartoon. So if you're a fan of movies, you've got to come down to the American History Museum and check out this exhibit. Like I said, you've got 20 years to see it. There are going to be rotations every year, so there's always going to be something new when you come. But for movie fans, it's a must-see.
Wait a minute. You said you have an actual Bette Davis overcoat from Now Voyager, the famous, you know, don't let's ask for the moon, we have the stars, that movie. You have the overcoat?
Sounds like we got a movie fan right here.
I'm in. I love it. I would just walk around just like crying, looking at everything in that museum.
All right. It's time for you to come in.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Well, I think that gives me plenty to work with. Final chance. Anything else that pops into mind that would work? Or I think we got enough.
Well, it's not movie related, but we also have the original Kermit the Frog puppet. So you got to come see that too.
Oh, wait, Hank, that counts. It's TV. It's kind of related. So wait. So Jim Henson, actually, you know, there's a bench with him and Kermit, you know, a statue / bench over at the University of Maryland. He has some local ties and did some of his early puppet shows on local airwaves. So talk about how you got, Kermit involved here.
Well, exactly like you said, his first show was when he was a student at the University of Maryland, and WRC, the local NBC affiliate, gave him a show called Sam and Friends that, you know, he created puppets from stuff around the house. And so our original Kermit puppet is made out of his mother's green wool coat and a ping pong ball that he cut in half for the eyes. And it's just this like incredible memorial to Jim and his creativity to see this original Kermit the Frog from 1955.
Wow. It is the original Kermit the Frog.
The original.
That is so cool. Come see it at the Smithsonian. And yes, like it's totally movie related. The Muppets have done plenty of movies as well. Absolutely. As their TV shows. So we can include it. Don't worry. Ryan, this is so much fun. If you can't tell, I literally could talk all day about this, but we don't want to keep you all day. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.